See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sunny but breezy, chilly day today. Definitely feels like football weather. Bears and Ravens Sunday at Soldier Field, and some line movement after the line pretty much remaining stagnant for the early portion of the week as Bears took some money yesterday, driving it down to 4.5 or 5. Lamar Jackson missed practice yesterday, illness, but it is not COVID. I think he was sent home from the facility because he wasn't feeling well, and they just don't want anybody else getting sick, so he should be good to go. No Khalil Mack, no Eddie Jackson, no Allen Robinson at practice yesterday. Darnell Mooney limited with the foot. At least he was doing something. He's listed as questionable.
It's a lot of names there, Carl.
A lot of names, Yurk. Yeah, and a hammy for Allen Robinson. And we said it earlier in the week. You know, I think Tuesday maybe we talked about it. And they, of course, because they were off, didn't release an injury report or anything like that. But, yeah, we were suspecting that there could be something going on with Allen Robinson's hamstring. So just when he looked like he was kind of getting in the mix a little bit more in that Pittsburgh game, hopefully Allen Robinson can get out there and play this weekend against the Ravens defense that's not quite as intimidating as we're used to it being, Yurk. They're 25th in defensive DVOA. They allow 6.2 yards per play. Believe it or not, only the Jets allow more this season. How about that? The Ravens defense has allowed more than 400 yards in four games this season.
And so my lasting memories of the Bears offense was Justin Fields having a perfect command of it and just attacking downfield. That's what I remember. I choose to, and maybe subconsciously my body has done this, is taken all the bad memories of that offense and kind of thrown them in the garbage into a recess of my brain that can't be accessed anymore. But what I remember is the pass to Robinson down the field, the pass to Mooney down the field, the pass to Jimmy Graham. Those are the passes that I choose to remember right now, and I'm hoping that kind of stuff continues on for the Chicago Bears.
Me too. They still have to clean up third down. It's funny, in doing research on this game, you will find that these two teams coming into Sunday, the Bears and the Ravens, rank 31st and 32nd. So second to last and dead last, respectively, in third and fourth down passing success rate this season. And when your passing success rate on third and fourth down is bad, you better believe there's a correlation to having a bad third down conversion percentage. And sure enough, both these teams, not very good. 28th and 29th overall in moving the sticks and staying on the field. That is an area that the Bears have to continue to work on. Hopefully they will. I know what you're saying about Justin Fields and the command that he had going into the break. I thought it was fantastic the way he played, and it gave us all something to be excited about going into the bye, because we've had very little to be excited about. So maybe we will see more of that against the defense where, like I said, they're not as intimidating as they used to be. And you can certainly move the ball on them, and you should at home certainly be able to score some points. And you've had extra time to prepare coming out of the bye. This has not been Matt Nagy's strong suit. I don't know what is, to be honest.
Yep.
Out of the bye is not one of his strong suits. How about 0-3? Now, the offense seems to be a little bit better coming out of the bye. They've averaged 26 points per game in his first three seasons in the game following the bye, which is a pretty big jump from what they normally average. They average about 400 yards a game, so that's all good. But they're allowing an average of 36 points per game and nearly 440 yards per game to their opposition. So they have yet to win a game coming out of the bye. That's never good. Normally we look at the good coaches, and they are money in the bank. You take a look. What do we always talk about? Andy Reid out of the bye. He's been virtually unbeatable in his NFL coaching career coming off of a bye. Sean Payton. John Harbaugh going into the Viking game a couple of weeks ago. Like, those coaches are automatic coming out of the bye, Yurko.
Yeah, and that's what you hope the Bears do. They muster up an effort to get the week off. They take a deep breath. They know the challenge that's ahead of them. 3-6 here. 3-6. Okay, you know what you have to do. There is no margin for error here. You've got to win. You got to start, you know, racking these things up. You got to start banking your victories one at a time if you plan on staying into this thing. Carm, I've talked about the last 3 weeks. What have the Bears had? Winnable games.
Yeah, that's true.
These have been winnable games. What have the Bears not done? They haven't won these winnable games.
The 49er game, right?
Yes.
The Steeler game was, you know, like they got hosed maybe a little bit, but still.
Yeah, a little bit hosed, but that happens during an NFL season. 17 games, you're going to get hosed.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes, okay? Yeah, you're going to end up getting hosed. Okay, you got hosed. Okay, but they're winnable games. You've got another game here on the lakefront, right? It's a winnable game.
It is.
What are you going to do? You've got to muster up the effort to come out on top when the clock says 0-0-0. And the Bears have not been able to do it, and that's a problem.
I went back and watched the Ravens' last game, as I always do for the Bears' opponent. It was painful. I wish I didn't. I mean, they were just horrid last week. Now, the Baltimore Ravens scored a field goal on their opening possession last week, excluding, Yurko, just a kneel down at the end of the half, okay, with 1 second left. So let's take that out, obviously. Let's take that drive out. Excluding that kneel down, Baltimore proceeded to punt on 8 of its next 10 possessions. The two possessions in which they didn't punt featured a missed field goal by Meller's guy, which is rare, a 45-yarder. He never misses. That's like, I mean, geez, 45 yards for him, Meller.
Yeah.
That's like 25 yards for the mere mortal, isn't it? I mean, he'll never miss those, but he did.
Your reaction goes to show you how good he is.
That's true. I mean, it's like when he misses a 45-yarder, you go, are you kidding me?
What the hell's going on?
Exactly. So the two drives that didn't end in a punt featured a missed field goal and a fumble return for a touchdown where Sammy Watkins coughed up the ball. It looked like they might have gotten the first down or he was going to be close to it. He was fighting for the sticks. Ball got knocked out, and I think it was Xavien Howard picked it up and went the other way. So that's the game last week. The Ravens had 3 points in the first, 54 minutes of that game. And Miami blitzed a ton. Now, Miami blitzes a lot anyway. They're the second highest blitz team in the NFL. The Bears don't blitz. They blitz the second least amount of time in the NFL. Only the Raiders blitz on a per-drop-back percentage less frequently than the Chicago Bears. So I don't know that they can steal a page from what Miami did, because this is what Miami kind of always does. But when you do go back and watch it, you saw 7 and 8 guys at that line of scrimmage every time. You saw safeties walking into the box and coming on pressure. And ESPN Stats and Info had a stat that it was the most times since 2015 in a single game that a quarterback was blitzed by defensive backs, Yurko. That was obviously their plan last week.
Right.
And you got to give Miami credit because they executed well enough where they just did not give Lamar Jackson much time to throw the ball down the field, and they frustrated and stymied that offense most of the day. So, I don't know. Do the Bears steal a page from it? Do they try to continue to get home with their front four? Look, Mac's hurt. Mac might not play again. Maybe they do have to blitz a little bit more because it seemed to be a recipe that really help the Dolphins steal that game last
And when
week.
They do blitz, usually they blitz with the linebacker. They don't blitz with the defensive back.
True.
You know, so usually it's Roquan Smith, the guy that ends up coming up the middle. And for a guy that does play middle linebacker, he does seem to be nifty enough to be able to get by that initial back block and get to the quarterback. I think they're going to try with their four and with their backups they have that rotate in there. I don't see the Bears blitzing as much. But if you do blitz, blitz from the side that makes him go to his left. You know, so yeah, he sees the blitz. It's okay. Blitz from the side makes him go left. So
blitz
can't
from
throw.
His right side, Yurk, yeah. And force him.
From his right side to force him to go left. Tougher force throw to make going left. That's what he plans on doing. You got to stay alive as a defensive line, though. No running by, no quitting on the play. Right. He might be coming back to you, so you got to be smart that way.
Lamar Jackson has actually been blitzed on 32.7% of his dropbacks this year. That is the third highest total in the NFL. The only two quarterbacks that have been blitzed more often than Lamar Jackson this year are Mac Jones and Justin Fields. They're two rookies. That sort of stands the reason. Is it surprising at all that teams are blitzing Lamar Jackson as much as they are?
Well, I think they want the ball out of his hand, Carm.
Because he's too dangerous otherwise?
Too dangerous with the football when it continues on. If you rush four and then he can dance back there.
Yeah.
And then he can kill you with the legs also. Like Cam Newton in his rookie year when he had 14 touchdowns. I think in his MVP or the year they ended up going further into playoffs, he had 10 touchdowns via the run. The longer he has the ball in his hands, the more things get discombobulated in the defensive backfield, the more he's got a chance then to take off and create some real damage with his legs. If you've got an unblocked guy coming, usually that's your corner or your slot corner that comes in on the blitz, get rid of the ball. Making him get rid of the ball, you'll take your chances tackling the receivers or them completing the ball altogether, you know, under pressure situations.
To Yurko's point too, Carm, I believe, I haven't looked at it in the last week or so, but Lamar Jackson, in terms of pass efficiency on the deep ball, has been the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best,
if it hasn't changed
over the last, you know, Thursday's game was obviously awful, so I haven't looked at it in the past week, but, it, and that's a product, I think, of the play action, you know, when defenses struggle, when he freezes them because of the RPOs, and then he's got either Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews running up the seam, he's really good at that pass. And so that's another reason why you want to blitz to get home, because you don't give him as much time to let that play develop, because that's a throw he actually excels at.
Yeah, and you know, he's been pretty good against the blitz. Even though teams are blitzing him a lot, he's still above league average in most of the categories in terms of completion percentage and quarterback rating. He's still a little bit above league average.
Above league average, but how much below what he is when he's not blitzing?
Well, that's true.
The disparity is what you're looking for. That's it.
Right.
You know, the league average, it's hard to, you know, claim because of what other teams do offensively. But what is he do as normal, and is that enough of a precipitous drop to make the blitz worth it at that point?
Yeah. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk Bears, thoughts on this team coming out of bye, what we're excited about in the second half of the season. It starts and ends with number one for me. I mean, just continued growth out of Justin Fields, I think, is all we're looking for. Yurko's got the former NFL player mentality, and he's been on a team that was 4-7 that rallied to go to the playoffs, so I get it. I get when Yurko says, no, there's a path, there's a way, you can do it. The path for me is not as clear. I never thought that this team was a playoff team anyway, but now when you get to this point in the season with the remaining schedule that they do have, and you look at just the probabilities of it from the people that will run you through the computer sims here, they are not good. 538 gives them a 4% chance to make the playoffs. Football Outsiders gives them just a 1.9% chance
at this point
to make the playoffs. So they've got a chance. But to me, it's all about continued development for Justin Fields. It's all we really have to be excited about, or all we can look forward to.
Well, you don't have a first-round pick next
year,
so you're not cheering for anything in that regard.
And it doesn't even make sense to start cheering for losses. I mean, you know, the Bears are giving the Giants the 8th pick right now, guys. Going into Week 11, the Giants have, I think, the 6th and the 8th pick. Isn't that right? I was looking at it earlier this week. I hope
believe
I have
you're correct, Carm.
I think right now the Giants have picks 6 and 8.
And how about this? Philadelphia has 3 first-rounders next year.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the NFC East is looking to get good with young talents.
Holy cow. No kidding, right?
Yeah. So hey.
Are the Eagles looking for a quarterback again?
I think they like what they're seeing out of Jalen Hurts right now.
They're running the hell out of the ball right now. I will say that.
And that helps. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, the last 3 weeks, I think, Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's thrown more than 23 passes in any of the games.
Has the pendulum swung? This was a passing league for an extended period of the time. Has the pendulum started to swing, though?
No, you know what? Part of it, like, somewhat.
I'm not saying running backs are more important, but running game.
I think because especially the emphasis, we're seeing a lot more cover, too. Because why?
Yeah,
because, the spread offenses and the quarterbacks, you know, you're seeing Mahomes, they're saying, hey, you got to be patient. Yep. That opens it up if you're going back to cover two to a team that's more willing to run the ball.
There's a point in time where only two teams were running the ball over 50% of the time. I mean, that's in recent time. Only two teams ran more than 50% of their offensive plays.
One of them was the Titans because they had Derrick Henry.
Right. So, dare I say, if we take a look at the statistics right now, currently as we sit, and we break down all 32 teams, do you think there will be greater or less than two teams running the ball 50% or more?
That's a good question. I'll pull those up, Yurk. And also, I got some other numbers that I want to deep dive with you.
Ooh, Carm, you want to go deep inside?
I
want to
go deep
on
you,
kid, Yurk. Huh?
I'd like to be inside of you.
Whoa,
inside of you.
That's Russell Brand. Remember that song?
I just went from 6 to midnight, Yurk.
Yeah. Sarah Marshall, right?
Inside of you.
No, Russell Brand and Get Him to the Greek.
No. Oh, it's Sarah Marshall. Mellor's right.
What Carm is singing.
Oh, that's
It's remember he gets on stage or he goes, Jonah Hill, he says, let's bring him up here. He'll sing a song for us. And he goes up on stage at the luau and he starts singing.
He sang the same song and Get Him to the Greek, guys.
Oh, did he? Maybe he did.
I'm telling you.
You may be right.
Same song and Get Him to the Greek.
This one's for Miss Sarah Marshall. Inside of you. Oh, good Lord. Okay, let's take a quick break.
It might have been that movie, too. It just seems it's the same.
So great. 312-332-3776 is the number. I'll give you a statistical trend that I think is only going to be continuing in the future, and it's one that I love and we've talked about forever, how it's needed to happen. We'll discuss that when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'd like to dedicate this song to a very beautiful woman that's here today. It's Miss Sarah Marshall. There she is. Look at her, blimey. Oh, those ancient skies, I've had these wandering eyes. But you took me by surprise when you let me inside of you. Inside of you. Inside of you.
This went from 6 to midnight.
Teach me how to grow while I'm moving inside of you.
Inside of you.
To be, is it wrong to be inside of you? Inside of you, the restless, fun, the dreams. Inside of you, this king has found his queen.
I wish I could write that beautifully, Jericho. I mean, what can you say? I mean,
and you're right.
That's a true poet.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I wouldn't look to get him the Greek soundtrack. And though they have the clap on there and others, it did not have that on there.
Very good, though. Nonetheless, the characters are the same.
And Jonah Hill's in both movies.
Yeah, Jonah Hill. Now, he plays a different character, but he is in both movies. Yeah. Absolutely. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is wicked funny. We got McKnight of the Movies coming up soon. It's Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you are checking us out on Twitch today and every day. Follow the show, join the chat, and get interactive. Twitch.tv, download the Twitch app, and make sure you have the ESPN Chicago app downloaded so that you can catch up on any interview you miss. We were talking about Jeff Van Gundy on with Waddle and Sylvie a little bit earlier. He was on yesterday. Charles Barkley is going to be on with the guys today. A new Crosstalk Unhinged comes your way later this afternoon. We're going to tape that after the show today. You can get that on the ESPN Chicago app. You can get Randy Merkin's Golf Club podcast, The Armchair Nutritionist, The Odds Couple, Chauncey's Great Outdoor. I mean, it's endless. It's a plethora, Yurko, on that ESPN Chicago.
That it is, Carm, yes.
Okay. So there was a beautiful thing that happened Monday night. We talked about it a little bit. Monday Night Football. Kyle Shanahan already with a big lead. He was up 24-7. He found himself in a 4th and 6 at the Rams 40. That's kind of no man's land. He's already up 24-7. You know what he did? Instead of punting, which, you know, 5 years ago. This is, it's not even a question, right? Okay, it's time to punt. We'll take a delay of game and punt. Kyle Shanahan said, no, I'm going for the jugular. 40-yard touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel. Chargers kicked a field goal, Yurko, on Sunday at home with 4 minutes and 36 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
All right, they were driving against Minnesota. They were down 10. They kicked the field goal to make it a touchdown game. They were down just 7. The Vikings led 27-20 with 4:36 left. You know what happened to end that game, Yurko?
What happened, Carl?
The Chargers never touched the football again. And finally, Mike Zimmer got it. Maybe because he knows his job's on the line. And apparently he told Clint Kubiak, because I read this in a story that The Ringer did earlier this week. One of the reporters must have uncovered it. Apparently he told Clint Kubiak, who needs all the help he can get, on the headset, we got to be aggressive here. He said, we have to be aggressive here. The Chargers never touch the football again.
Yeah, we
Minnesota
can't give them the ball back.
Can't give them the ball back. Minnesota not only converted a 3rd and 6 and a 3rd and 20 on that drive, where they went deep twice to their unbelievable weapons that they have, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. They then converted a 4th and 2 at the Chargers 36. And Mike Zimmer's been burned probably more than anybody by kickers in the last 5 years. Right, Meller? I mean, there's nobody that's had the Vikings have had, right?
I think you're right about that.
So instead of kicking...
Chargers have been brutal, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Both these teams in this game. So instead of attempting a 53 or a 54-yard field goal, he said, on 4th and 2, we're going to go for it. And guess what Dalvin Cook did? He picked up the first down. The Chargers kneeled on it 3 times. 4 minutes and 36 seconds, they never gave the football back. And the point is that teams are going for it on 4th down more and more. And I asked our buddy Jacob Nitzberg at ESPN Stats and Info to do a little research, and he went back to 2000. And just looking at the chart, in the year 2000, 21 seasons ago, Yurko, 22 football seasons ago, the 4th down attempts per game, right? Fourth down attempts per game, 0.92.
Yep.
Through week 10 of the 2021 NFL season, we are at 1.41. But what's really amazing is how much this has spiked in the last handful of years. I told you that in 2000, it was 0.92 fourth down attempts per game.
Right.
Well, in 2017, Yurko, it was 0.95. That's not much of a change, my friend.
No.
0.92 to 0.95. But since then, 2018, 1.05. 2019, 1.16. 2020, 1.29. And this season, 1.41. And the other thing that Jacob dug up that he thought was really incredible was just how much teams are going for it inside their own territory. That number alone since 2017, when it was just 0.24 times per game, is up to 0.43 times per game this season. Coaches are finally getting it. You need to possess the ball, and you need points in this league if you're going to win.
Well, they're getting it, too, because they're seeing it play out, and they're seeing the results. You know, when you lay it out and you show that when you actually do, it's not that, you know, going for it on fourth and two or fourth and one, that's when you want to do it because the odds are in your favor. Like you pointed out, Kyle Shanahan's play called the Deebo Samuel, too, especially if you're creative and you're not just going to, you know, run the ball into a heavy line there, you're giving yourself plenty more options. Did you also mention, Carm, you listed a lot of them. Did you mention Washington and Tampa?
No.
So they're...
Oh, like, how about that drive?
Is that
what you were talking about?
No. But on that last drive, it was fourth and goal at Tampa's one-yard line. Now, it was, what was it, like a 19-play drive or whatever that Taylor Heinicke had led them on?
Yeah, it was like eight minutes, wasn't it?
It was coincidental that Taylor Swift sings a 10-minute song on SNL and then Taylor Heinicke leads a 10-minute drive for the Washington football team to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, on fourth and goal at the 1 yard line, Ron Rivera goes ahead and goes for it. And then what do they do? This is actually another level. They kneel on it on the two point conversion. They go up 10 and they understand the only way they can really be burned is if somehow, some way, the extra point is blocked and Tampa returns the 2 point conversion, thus resulting in a one possession game for them.
Correct.
So even though it's minor, they're starting to do the little things that help you win football games or at least ensure victory.
It's beautiful. I think it's an absolutely beautiful thing. Not every coach is going to do it. Not every coach gets it. Vic Fangio kicked 3 field goals inside the 10-yard line last week, boys. 3. One of them was blocked, actually. How do you block a field goal inside the 10-yard line? I don't know.
That's damn near impossible.
He kicked 3 field goals inside the Eagles' 10-yard line, Yurko. 3.
You can't settle for 3. Haven't I always told you that?
You've always said it. And you're a numbers guy, no matter what you want to try to play off, you're bright. You get math, and you've always been a numbers guy.
I always said footballs was a numbers game.
And you knew
it,
as anybody. Vic Fangio kicking 3 field goals inside the 10. Guess what happened to the Broncos last week?
They got drilled, Carl.
You got no chance in this day and age. It's just a different brand of football. The proliferation of offense between the rules and the athleticism and the speed that is all over the field. You can't just hang your hat on, well, year in and year out, we're going to play great defense. There are too many variables. There's too much regression involved. And it is not a sustainable way to build a franchise that is competitive year in and year out.
You better have
a quarterback, you better be able to score, and you better have a coach that understands when you should be going for it more often, when it is advantageous for you, when the numbers tell you you should be going for it.
Do you know what Denver did on fourth down last week?
What'd they do?
They're 0 for 2. Do you know what they were on third down last week?
I don't.
1 for 11. It seemed to me that it didn't make a difference what the hell Denver was doing. They were going to be walking off the damn football field.
Probably.
Yeah.
1 for 11.
That's horrific.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. And they were down 20-10 at halftime, so Maybe they were just trying to keep it close.
You give we should save this for a few minutes, actually, because I don't want to be late. We got to do McKnight at the movies. I'd like to know if you were given Teddy Bridgewater any crap about not trying to make a tackle on that play. I don't know if you saw that.
I'm from the Dan Marino philosophy. It used to be, I'd say, throw your body in there, get in there, quit being a whatever. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a coward. I've come to the point, I take the Dan Marino philosophy. I'm more important to the offense to be on the field than I am to be a guy making a tackle.
Like, I don't want to hurt my shoulder.
I'll get you 14 back. I'll get you 14 back.
Right. We lived it here in Chicago when Jay Cutler broke his thumb against the Chargers when they were, what were they, 7-1, 7-2?
They were
7-3, Merck? Merck says they were 7-3. So
nobody's more of a man's man than Marino was. And Marino said, you know what? I don't need to be in there, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I throw an interception, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge, and I'm living to fight another day.
And we all said, Jay, why did you try to make a tackle against the Chargers? You got to hurt.
I mean, I love his football instinct in the play, but it took me a long time to come around to that.
Conversely, do you guys remember a couple years ago when Ryan Tannehill threw an interception against the Raiders, and then he came back around and absolutely lit up the guy who intercepted it?
I do.
That was fantastic.
He also was a tight end in college.
That's true. But wide receiver. I think he was a receiver, right?
Yeah, he might have been a receiver. You might be right. He's a little bit more used to maybe hitting guys and throwing out some hits. McKnight at the Movies is coming up next.
Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
Connor's always evolving and tweaking this thing, Yurko. You know, he's been doing this thing where he's working in a movie.
Yes.
Something to do with the Bears' opponent, like either the town in which they play, something like that. He told us last Friday when you were gone he might change that up. Bears play the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I've got an idea of maybe where he's going to go with this, considering it's Baltimore, but I don't know 100%. Well, let's fire away and see, right? It's McKnight at the Movies time every Thursday. We love this. York and I play along with you. We do not know the movies and the scenes which Connor has selected. So when you think you know it, be the first correct caller at 312-332-3776, and you will win. And without further ado, here is part one for McKnight at the Movies for this week.
Our scene opens on what's called a hero shot. You know the one, camera looking up at the character to portray, well, heroism. Not exactly the case in this scene, but we're getting gravitas and dignity just oozing off this actor. Not important that it's a hero shot, just my way of telling you I took a film class in college. To be fair, this actor brings dignity and gravitas to every role he's had since he started work in 1964. He's reading something, a transcript. He's reading it back to the main character of the film, who's with him in this vast, nearly empty room. It's just the two of them. And while the main character is just meeting this mystery man, we get the sense that he has known our main character forever.
So I think I know.
I am lost right now.
I think I know, and I think it's the exact movie that I thought it was going to be, which would be fun.
You can get it from that. Really? That's pretty impressive.
Well, I think if Carmen had a suspicion that because of the tie, I think that's why that clue made it easier.
Merck, I'm texting you right now. You tell me.
Well, why aren't you texting me so I can have an idea?
All right.
You can keep playing along, Yurk.
That's right.
I am playing along.
All right. I texted the good kid, too. All right. Let's hear part two.
Now, this main, who's had a legendary career of his own, is incredulous as he's hearing his own words read back to him. He demands to know the true identity of this enigmatic man in this empty room, and there's a revelation coming, but first, more on our actors. The mystery man is making his second appearance in the segment, mostly narrated his last spot, though. Prolific career, drama his forte, but he's got range, and this casting is playing off on his on-camera stature. The main character is an all-timer, special place in my heart. Really, every kid that grew up in the 90s has a soft spot for this guy. If the Bears had the AFC East on their slate this season, he'd be due for a second spot here in the Bears.
All right, I don't know it. I was wrong.
Yeah.
You got any idea, Yurk?
You're wrong, no. No, I don't have any idea right
soft
now.
Soft spot if you grew up in the 90s?
I've got a guess. I'll text it to you.
Text it to me.
I'm going to text it to you.
Text it to me. 312-332-3776 if you think you know. And I'm sure you're racing to the phones. All right, let's hear part three. I'm curious.
Okay, back to the flick. Mystery Man is explaining who he is to our main character. He's not taking it well. To be honest, it's a far-fetched explanation. No one would really believe.
I've got it.
He's a cynical man, this Maine. Jokester for sure, but he started to test the claims of this white suit-wearing monolith. But not only does this guy have receipts, he's got powers. Every doubt our main character lays out, this guy has an answer. Starting to think he's more than a man in this movie. Credit to the main actor here, too. In a lot of his comedies, he's pulling kind of the same shtick, but it's just a little different enough in every single one of them, and he's magnetic enough to keep people coming back. So this all-powerful mystery man is being revealed before our eyes. Something fairly poetic about seeing the doubts of man juxtaposed against righteousness playing out here in a comedy, but that's stuff for a different show. Finally, main character has run out of tests and has started to believe. That's what this movie is about, I suppose. I bet we get a solid hour of comedy or so before this former pet detective learns his lesson from one of the greatest voices in cinema history.
Yes, I got it. The beginning of Clue 3, kind of, finally, when I started putting it all together. I needed the beginning of Clue 3.
So. I don't
I texted
know.
You, Yurko. I texted it to you.
Yeah,
I got it.
I got you.
Right? That's it. That's the one. And he's right about the two actors in this movie. I love it. All right, let's go to the phones. Who's got the right answer, Yurko?
We've got Dwayne from Rochelle, Carm.
Dwayne
from Rochelle.
Tell us that movie, please.
That movie is Bruce Almighty.
You know it, my man. Nice job, Dwayne. Sit tight. Make sure Merck's got all your info. You'll get the gift card. It is Bruce Almighty, where Morgan Freeman plays God himself.
The gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Smite me, almighty smiter. Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
Are you spying on me? Who are you?
I'm the one. Huh? Creator of the heavens and the earth. Alpha and Omega.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Bruce, I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer? Our service has God! Bing, 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 bing. Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse. Oh, and by the way, you suck! You know what would have been a little bit more impressive, though? If you hadn't used the cheesy file cabinet illusion. Anybody with a brainstem can tell that that drawer is being fed through the wall from the other side. All you have to do is find the crease right around here. There is a seam here. Or a hollow spot.
Where? Through the drywall and concrete?
Okay, that is a good one. That is a good one. Okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
Now, Bruce, thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Hey, if you can't do it, man, that's cool.
3, 2, 4, 9, 6, 8, 1.
Okay. How many now?
7.
Aha!
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me, Bruce. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
Wait. Don't come near me. Seriously. When I'm backed into a corner, I'm like a wild animal. I don't want to hurt you, but I will out of instinct.
You haven't won a fight since grade 5, and that was against a girl.
Yeah, she was huge. She'd been held back.
And the sun was in your eyes. Oh, the ego. Anyway, I brought you here to offer you a job.
A job? What job?
My job. You think you can do it better, so here's your chance. When you leave this building, you will be endowed with all my powers.
He has the voice of God, that Morgan Freeman. I'll tell you.
Oh, what an actor.
Ironically enough.
What an actor. You look at his list of what he's done. My heavens.
Good stuff.
Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington. I'm telling you, there's two movie icons right there, my friend.
Carm, what was your initial guess?
I thought he was going to do something Baltimore-related. I thought he might do Silence of the Lambs. And when the way he started it, I thought maybe it was. The minute I got into Clue 2, I'm like, no, it's not Silence of the Lambs. So that's what I thought it was at first.
How about you, Yerk?
Enemy of the State.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, that's where Will Smith and Gene Hackman are going in the hotel room where he's trying to convince him that he's being bugged everywhere.
Yeah.
And then he ends up out on the thing, and Gene Hackman gets out of Dodge because he knows he's being followed.
Enemy of the State was good. It was at a time like when everybody really started carrying cell phones for the first time,
right.
Remember? Like,
and now
it was
the government
like late 90s.
Could do everything the Patriot Act,
absolutely.
In essence, allowed the government to spy on its citizens.
Good stuff.
So a quick funny story about Bruce Almighty. I was working at, I think, when it was called 101 Sports back then.
Is this in the book, Merck?
It's not in the book. No.
Oh,
no.
This is bonus story.
Bonus Merck.
Bonus Merck. And I wanted to go see the movie. It was like a Thursday, and I meant to send an email to Beth saying, can we have a date night tomorrow night and go see Bruce Almighty? But by accident, I sent it to the entire staff.
Wow.
So right after I send it out, I'm like, oh, man, that was a mistake. And then I get a page. You know, we can page inside the building from Chet. Goes, Merck, come to my office, please. So I come down. He goes, hey, Nancy and I are in. You want to go to dinner beforehand? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, you just sent an invitation. We want to go for a date night tomorrow night for Bruce Almighty. I'm like, oh, no, Chet, that was a mix-up.
That was meant for the wife.
Come on, you should have went.
I don't want to go. No.
What do you mean, no? A little dinner and a movie with Chet? That's fantastic.
Yeah. By the way, book release party tonight, 6:30 at Claim Company in Northbrook.
6:30, Claim Company in Northbrook. Bring your wallet. That would be my only advice.
I talked to Arnie. We're all good. Arnie's,
I told you, Arnie. Buy a book.
Arnie.
Listen, if you're going to go tonight, you cheapskates, buy a book.
I just bought five.
Buy one of Randy's
Yerko
books.
Yerko did just buy five. He's a mensch.
I just bought five books.
I'm going to buy a few more for the holidays, too.
I'm giving away to the kids. You know? Oh, by the way, my Nico had Bruce Almighty. He had texted me 2 minutes
ago. Wow.
Yeah, he goes, Bruce Almighty. So Nico's listening today. How about that?
Merck, I'm going to buy a few more books, get them stocking stuffers for the kids.
Beautiful. Thanks, Carmen.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm getting, stocking stuffers for the kids. Boy, I hope. It's better than a lump of coal, kids. Honest
to God,
it is.
What are you talking about?
It's not a lump of coal.
BehindTheGlassTheBook.com. So buy the book. And go to the Claim Company for the book release party tonight and buy a book, all right? Yerk, I got some of those stats you were asking about.
I'm ready.
The splits, the situational splits.
Yep.
I'll give them to you coming up next.
Oh, thank you.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yerko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hi, Eric. You wanted to know what the splits are looking around like across the league in terms of run pass, right?
Yes.
Through week 10,
Kyle.
League average, Yerk, is 59% pass, 49% run.
Right.
You see that kind of that stands the reason, right, in this day and age.
Sure. Right. Why it doesn't equal 100%? I'm stunned, though, but.
Well, I don't know.
But go ahead. We're good.
Well, why doesn't that not equal 100%? What's
59 and 49.
59 and 41, I said.
Oh, 41. I got you. I thought you said 49.
No, 59 and 41.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Bears are 50-50, actually. How about that? The Bears right now are a dead even split. New Orleans is at 52% pass, 48% run. New Orleans and Philly are both 52% pass. So is Tennessee. So is Cleveland. I mean, it's all the usual suspects.
So there are no teams that are running the ball more than...
Nope. The closest we have are New Orleans. The Bears, obviously, are 50-50. Then New Orleans, Philly, Tennessee, Cleveland. And that kind of stands the reason, wouldn't you think? Like, all those teams are kind of run heavy, or at least as run heavy as you're going to be in this era of football. And they run it a lot. They run it 48% of the time. They pass it 52% of the time.
All right, from this point on, let's see what it is, because things are getting a little bit colder. It'll get tougher to pass.
Yeah, that's it.
So we'll see what it looks like the rest of the way out. But it's good now that we got a kind of a base.
Do you want me to
like
take out the fourth quarter, Yerk?
No. It's the whole thing. It's
okay.
Everything.
All right, because I could filter out the fourth quarters or anything if you want.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you got teams that want to run the ball to run the clock, and you got other teams that need to pass to get from behind. So, no,
Tampa,
don't worry about it.
Tampa, Yerk, is at 67% pass.
Yeah.
Miami is a big pass team. Kansas City, that wouldn't surprise you, right? 65% pass. Vegas is 64% pass. L.A., Chargers, 64% pass. The Raiders are at 61. So you got a bunch of teams above 60% pass. And
the Bears are 50-50.
50-50. Bears are 50-50. League average, like we said, is 59-41 right now on the split. So there you have it, my friend. You ask.
I did. I appreciated it. Thank you very kindly.
Deliver for you.
Thank you very kindly.
Some people were upset, I guess, that Corbin Burns won the NL Cy Young. I don't know why.
Well, I went and looked at his statistics. I mean, he did have 46 less innings pitched than Wheeler.
So he had four fewer starts. That's true. But, I mean, he did make 28 starts, Corbin Burns, and he led the NL in ERA, ERA plus, fielding independent pitching, strikeouts per nine, and strikeout-to-walk ratio. And he had a lower whip and fewer hits per nine allowed than Zach Wheeler. I don't think it's unfair. And it was a very close vote. I mean, it was.
Yeah, but, Carm, that's like five starts.
Four starts, I just told you.
Okay, I know, but it's 40. How many innings was it, Yurk?
47, right?
Yeah, 46, 47, somewhere right around there.
I think that's fair. It's a fair criticism. Wheeler had 193 outs more than Corbin Burns. And you cited all those impressive stats, Carm, but the truth is, too, we all know third time through the order penalty, the more times you can make it through the order, you know, your ERA and whip are going to increase. And so the fact that he didn't do it as often as Wheeler, I think there's something to be said for that.
It was also a very close vote, though. I mean, it's not right. Like it was like a runaway.
Wheeler was he averaged 6 2/3 inning.
Right.
For his starts.
Yeah. They got the same number of first place votes. Didn't I read that? The difference
correct.
Came
in
the second.
It was the closest National League Cy Young vote ever, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they got the same number of first place votes. I had a Burns ticket for a little while earlier this year, but I sold it.
Carm, what did that start? Because I thought, you for 5 or 6 to 1?
Sell your Jacoby Myers bet.
No, I'm holding that ticket. What's that, Merck?
What did the Burns ticket start at the year? What'd you get it at?
I bought it when he was probably 9 to 1.
9 to 1, okay.
Yeah, give or take. He was a little higher than that, I think, when the season started. Maybe I take that back. He might have been 9 to 1 to start the year, like 12 to 1, and I got it when it was 6 to 1. I don't know, something along those lines. Tonight we're going to find out about our Bryce Harper bet. You could celebrate with Merck at Claim Company, releasing the book and a Bryce Harper win, hopefully.
Oh.
Yeah, that'd be nice, right, Merck?
I'll buy you a pop.
That'd be a nice little hit. You better be buying more in pops. You better buy a bottle of champagne for everybody if you hit that one. Buy a bottle of Veuve Clicquot.
He just fainted. You told him buy a bottle of champagne.
Better
he
buy
just fainted behind us. Holy
champagne.
Heavens.
Meller and I were joking before I saw that. We saw yesterday Bob Nightingale tweeted that the White Sox had some interest in Justin Verlander, and then, like, it had to be 17 minutes later. They're like, oh, by the way, Justin Verlander's re-signing for a year with...
Yeah, the one time I need Nightingale to be right about White Sox news is the only time he's not.
He wasn't right. Wow, they could have had interest. It's just Houston kept him, Jeff. That's it.
Oh, damn it. Get my hopes up.
I would have liked Verlander in the rotation.
Still got a chance at Correa, though.
What's that,
Mario? Still got a chance at Correa.
No, Correa's going to go to Detroit, I think, with A.J. Hinch. Watch. You watch. He's going to end up in Detroit. That'd be crazy, but I think you might. Okay. Have a great day, everybody. Greeny's next, and then Waddle and Sylvie, and then Black and Abdallah. We'll see you to wrap the week for a Football Friday tomorrow. Great job by Midway Jeff Meller. Thank you to Connor McKnight, and good job by Randy Merkin. All this snow's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot. You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Inside you.
It's went from 6 to midnight.
Teach me how to grow while I'm moving inside of you. Is it wrong to be inside you?
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.